did not believe that the daughter should go to university. And Martha was determined to have her daughter have a good education and become independent and not dependent on her husband. However, this did not work out. Mabel gave up her studies at the University of Michigan and married a wealthy doctor. Her mother mourned his move and wrote to her sister, listen to this, "Poor dear victim of vanity and slave to passion. Must her soul be dwarfed and her life blighted in this way? I see nothing but unhappiness for her in the future. The love of dress has ruined her." I think it's priceless. I mean, they were both very unhappy. You know, there was this conflict. She was somebody who worked hard to make, so her daughter won't have to marry an older person or another man and be a slave to the man or to fashion. And all she wanted was, she said, well, she had to make her own clothes, I didn't go with her. Because if it were up to her mother, she would have walked around without any clothes at all. Mm-hmm. The mother didn't teach her anything. And that's overstating the case, obviously. Barbara Ayrton, the teenage daughter of Hertha and William Ayrton, complained occasionally about her mother's interest in science, but she cooperated with her parents in scientific research. The mother was born Phoebe Marks, the daughter of Polish Jewish immigrants in England. Later called herself Hertha, in any case. She was educated at Girton College, taught mathematics in Kensington High School, and married a widower with one child in 1885. He was an electrical engineer, and soon she became not only his partner, but an independent researcher working on the electrical arc and other subjects. The birth of their daughter was a joyous event, and while Hertha stayed home with the child, she did not give up science. No doubt the Ayrtons, like other middle-class families, had servants. But Hertha not only worked at home, but also in her husband's laboratory at the Central Technical College. They both involved their daughter in research, quote-unquote, much to her delight. Indeed, in a paper published in 1898, William Ayrton acknowledged the family enterprise on behalf of both wife and daughter. But once Barbara was into her teens, she was known to complain that she wished her mother, I quote, had a boudoir all filled with yellow satin furniture instead of a laboratory like the mothers of other girls, unquote. But this was a passing teenage complaint. The daughter eventually became an outspoken feminist and, together with her mother, an activist in the militant wing of the suffrage movement. In fact, at one time she was jailed for her activities, which made her mother very proud of her. Obviously, there were a variety of individual differences in attitude. Fufa, the daughter of Russian mathematician Sofia Kovalevskaya, adored her scientist mother, even though Kovalevskaya, separated from her husband and later as a widow, was unable to care for her daughter in a consistent fashion. It was her extended family of sister and female friends, themselves scientists, who looked after Fufa when Sofia was working on a special project, or on a series of special projects. It was not until she obtained a university position in Stockholm, Sweden in 1884, which made her the first woman in modern times to teach science at the university, that she could bring her daughter to Sweden. But Kovalevskaya, like many other women scientists, spent quality time with her daughter. Her determination to do so was fueled by the fact that her own mother left the children to household servants. She came from an aristocratic Russian family and spent very little time with her children. Anne Koblitz, Kovalevskaya's biographer, writes that, I quote, Fufa later recalled with great delight that although her mother was often preoccupied and distracted when she was working on a problem or struggling through personal drama, occasionally she would drop everything to devote the day to her little girl. Fufa's friends adored her mother. To them she seemed like a special friend rather than a mother. Another woman scientist who spent quality time with her daughters, who in turn helped their mother with some aspect of her scientific work, was Margaret Morris Nice, America's foremost woman ornithologist. Margaret was brought up in New England. Her father was a history professor at Amherst College, and she was educated herself at Amherst College, Mount Holyoke, and Clark University. She studied zoology, but her educated but conventional parents pressured her to marry. Fortunately for science, she married physiology student Blaine Nice, who encouraged later her scientific activities. When Blaine was finishing his PhD, the couple started in New England, and Margaret, for the first time, enjoyed a certain freedom from home restrictions, and so she enjoyed actually being married and playing house, even though she sort of sent the washing out and really streamlined household activities because she wanted to spend her time on on things of the mind. This was one thing that was inculcated in her and the New England colleges, that the things of the mind came above other interests. So while she played keeping house after a fashion, she wrote up her master's thesis. But then the children arrived, and after, they had five girls altogether. After the first two, the family moved to Norman, Oklahoma, where Margaret discovered that in spite of her having to play mother and wife instead of continuing science, she did have a passion for research. And as she was bored with housework, she decided to study the speech development of her daughters and their friends. And she wrote this up, but she had great difficulty getting recognition and even getting published in psychology without a doctorate. However, in a few years she found that, as opposed to psychology, ornithology, an incompletely professional science, was different, and she could have recognition and published quite widely. So once Margaret Meisler discovered her interest in nature, she utilized her background in zoology to study the avifauna of Oklahoma. Excursions into the country were done on famille, and the daughters helped her study the birds' breeding behavior. They climbed trees for their mother to peer into birds' nests and learn to care for injured birds and other wildlife, actually. Marjorie Nice Boyer, one of the daughters who's a historian of science, very nicely for me, recalls that their mother always had time for them and was devoted to her family. Margaret Nice, it seems, had the capacity to streamline household operations and to have time for family and science. There is no indication that any of her daughters resented the time that she spent on science. In fact, at a much later stage, one of the unmarried daughters spent considerable time working on precocial behavior of birds and incubation period.